You're listening to the Bug Bites module of the Zesty Garden. Diane Alston, USU's extension entomologist, is in studio with me. And today we're going to talk about green alternatives that may control stink bugs but also help monarch butterflies. And this is a good example of what we've talked about on the program before, which is IPM management.
Right, yeah. So IPM stands for Integrated Pest Management, and that's actually the general field that I work in here in Utah. I work in research and extension. Extension is outreach to the public and trying to help them with, in this case, improving the management of their insects and related pests. And so integrated, as the name suggests, means kind of looking at using multiple approaches and integrating them together to make, you know, the whole better than the sum of its parts. So that kind of synergistic, anything you can do to make, you know, bring it all together and make a comprehensive, well-rounded, solid kind of pest management program. And it's not just applied to agriculture, although that's where I think about it a lot because that's what I work in. But it can be applied to school IPM, you know, indoor structural pests, forest pests, all kinds of situations.
Well, and in this case, what jumped out at me was the monarch butterflies part, mm-hmm. because, you know, whatever I can do to help boost the monarch butterfly populations would be great. So why don't you explain what's happening with this, the stink bug? This is taking place in the South. Farmers are concerned about their cotton mm-hmm. and their what other crops did they have going
on? So peanuts were the other other crop that they talked about. So this is a group of entomologists that are in Georgia and in the southeastern United States. Cotton is a popular crop to grow. It's a good cash crop to grow there. And there's a complex of stink bugs. So these are, I think some of them are native species, but some of them are also introduced species that are problems on the cotton. And what they do is they are attracted, especially around the edge of the cotton fields, and they move in, they lay their eggs, and those stink bug nymphs, the little young stink bugs, will feed on the developing cotton flower, which then turns into the stage I call the square, which is like the bud, and then, or excuse me, the bud comes first, and then the flower, and then, you know, ultimately the cotton bowl will develop. That's a hard word to say, bowl. And when the stink bug feeds on that, it damages the fibers in the cotton bowl, and you don't get the nice, white, fluffy cotton. You get a kind of a shriveled bowl, and you don't get the yield out of that you would like to get out of a healthy cotton bowl. And so, you know, pesticides, insecticides have been the primary control for stink bugs. Stink bugs are pretty difficult insect to kill. They're like little tanks. The adults are good flyers. We talked before the show about how there's such a high dispersing insect. They fly all around. They use all different kinds of plants to feed on and lay their eggs. And so they're just a hard insect to kill. And so agriculture has primarily relied on synthetic pyrethroid insecticides, which are pretty good at killing on contact. But the problem when we use a lot of these insecticides is that we're killing all the beneficial insects too. And so that's where integrated pest management tries to come in and say, what else can we do? You know, we know that just relying on insecticides is not sustainable. It's not going to, you know, we're going to create more problems sometimes than we solve. So what else can we do? So this group in Georgia looked at bringing in plants, so alternative plants that could be used as a screen or a border or divider between and around fields. And because cotton are particularly at risk for the stink bug damage, but they'll feed on peanuts and alfalfa and other, you know, plants that are grown nearby, but they're flying into cotton because they really like it. So they looked at planting these screens of plants, so sorghum, a type of grass that can grow pretty tall was one thing they looked at. They also looked at just using some plastic screen, some material they could like put up like a screen you might see around the edge of a when you're trying to keep erosion from going down mm-hmm. into the creek or something. And they found that as long as the screens, whether it was plant-based or plastic, was at least as tall as the cotton crop, which was around 4.5 feet when it was mature, that it worked pretty well. And it really helped reduce the numbers of stink bugs that were flying into the cotton field and causing damage. And so, and that greatly reduced the amount of insecticides they had to use. So that was one of the components. And the other thing they looked at was, well, what happens if we can plant something that would draw some of the beneficial insects in that will attack the stink bugs? And so they looked at two different kinds of flowering plants. One was buckwheat and one was milkweed that you were talking about, the monarch factor in this. And so when buckwheat or milkweed were flowering, it was attractive to a particular parasitic fly that attacks the stink bugs. And so they got much better biological control of the stink bugs when they had the flowering buckwheat or milkweed. But then they saw this one additional benefit, which was really cool, was that when they had milkweed there and flowering, they saw a lot more monarch butterflies and caterpillars in the area. And so we know, as you were saying at the beginning of this module, that monarchs have been particularly hard hit by agricultural practices. A lot of it has to do with reducing weeds, because milkweed often grows as a weedy plant around field edges, and it's common in open pastures and fields. But when we cultivate the land and grow the corn and the soybeans and the different things we plant, we often kill off that milkweed. And so the monarch needs a kind of a continuous mosaic of host plants of the milkweed to migrate across North America. And if we disrupt that with big gaps where there isn't much milkweed, that's what really hurts their population. So this research showed that, hey, we can target a big pest in cotton, stink bugs. We can use alternative controls, insecticides, and protect the pollinators and the natural enemies. We can plant some particular flowering plants, and one being milkweed, we can plant, and we can help the monarch as well as help ourselves, so to speak, with the stink bug biocontrol.
Is there any indication that planting milkweed would attract other insects so here in Utah, for instance, that would help with some predatory insect that we don't want?
That's a good question. I don't know that there's been any other. There are, when I look at milkweed around, there's three main insects I tend to see. There's two different kinds of beetles that are called milkweed beetles. One is a cobalt blue color. Another one is a red, big longhorn beetle.
Long antennae
yeah. with the black spots on it. But those are both milkweed specialists, and they're not harmful to any other plant. So they're there because the milkweed's there. But then another insect I often see is called the ambush bug. And this is a brightly colored predatory bug, and it's there to feed on other things that are on the milkweed, obviously. Probably not so much the beetles, because they're big, but maybe, aphids and other smaller insects. So maybe something, the question you ask, I don't have a specific answer, but I do know that I see ambush bugs on milkweed. So it could be that, yes, they could be helping draw in another predator, a generalist predator that could help with control of pests around on the plants nearby. So perhaps so.
Great. Well, we were talking about green alternatives that may control stink bugs, but also help monarch butterflies. That was this particular article. And if you want to have more information about this, you can go to Entomology Today and sign up for their little newsletter. It's like an email that you get once every day or so that talks about different fascinating news in the world of insects. Diane, thank you very much.
Yeah, it's been fun. Thanks, Brian.
You've been listening to Bug Bites, part of the Zesty Garden. Diane Alston is USU's extension entomologist.